I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to an all new episode of Help I Suck at Dating with me, Vanessa, my two lovely co-hosts, Dean and Jared. Am I introducing the person next to me right now?
No, let's tease it a little bit.
Let's tease it just a little bit. Let's give a round of applause. The fact that Vanessa.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm applauding
myself. Vanessa made it to Tahoe.
First of all, I thought we were recording this podcast 2 hours later than what it was supposed to be. So I woke up way late.
I still didn't brush my teeth.
I'm still wearing my pajama top and TMI, but got diarrhea.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
That was a little.
Also, for context, this episode is being recorded live in Tahoe.
This is the first time we've all been in studio together for a while.
A long time, yeah.
Well, this is my favorite studio, by the way.
It's a great studio.
This is a great studio.
There's a moose head right above us.
We've never done an out of studio recording.
There's a moose head above us. We're looking at a beautiful lake. We're looking at a beautiful human being that we still will not introduce. I don't know why. I don't know when, but just know we have a very
here
sitting at the table. Tori's here as well, and the beautiful Tori is amazing as always, but we're not talking about Tori.
Can we just give it up for Tori, Danielle, and Amy, and Hannah for helping us get here? Well, me get here.
Yay. So tell us about your travel
stories. So obviously I live in Montreal, and we were flying from Montreal to Chicago, Chicago to Lake Tahoe, and I remember saying, everybody knows who follows me on Instagram have the worst travel luck. Either they lose my luggage or my flight's canceled or delayed. Obviously my flight was delayed from Montreal to Chicago. And then from Chicago, because there were like over 500 flights that were canceled or delayed because of storm and thunder showers and stuff like that, we got pushed back for another like 4 hours. And so we had to stay overnight in Chicago. And then there was a huge heat wave in Chicago. It was like 104 degrees or something crazy like that. And now here we are. Well, here I am. Whoopsie.
How many flights did it take for you to get here? You went Montreal to Toronto?
Montreal to Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. Two flights.
Okay. Yeah.
But we ended up staying and then we ended up staying in Chicago for overnight.
You really do have the worst luck in traveling.
Yeah. And
it's crazy.
I'm not, even last time when we were in Napa, remember?
Your flight got canceled.
My flight got canceled. So I'm like, I can't do these small trips anymore. I love you guys, but I don't know.
Not a small trip, by the way. Anything over like a 2.5-3 hour flight, I don't think it's a small trip.
A major city.
Well, it's a long way to come all the way from the East Coast.
Yeah.
I'm not really brushed up on my Canadian geography, but I know Montreal is pretty far over.
So it's like,
there.
Think New York.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's flying from upstate
Maine.
New York pretty much.
But the point is, you made it.
I made it.
And you have your very special cargo with you.
I do.
I would assume that this person did not have to fly in the overhead bin or underneath because it's a human being.
A human being. Nah.
Do you just want to introduce him?
Yeah,
Vanessa, introduce him.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to introduce him real quick, and then we're going to jump into a quick break.
I don't know why I'm nervous.
I'm pretty nervous.
Yeah, I'm getting the sweats. I don't know.
And then after we introduce, jump into a break, and then we're going to dive deep into the psychology of this.
The psychology of this human being? Okay,
yes.
I'm a little bit nervous. So I actually tried prepping him on our way over to Lake Tahoe. So I brought with me my boyfriend. Mr. Silver Fox, Joshua himself.
Mr. Silver Fox himself.
The Silver Wolf.
Well, Josh, first of all, thank you for coming, and thank you for dating our beautiful, beautiful co-host, Vanessa.
Aww.
We don't have to really thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You should. I don't know you yet, but you're kind of the lucky one.
Jared's the one that always gives like the best compliments, and Dean is the one that will try to extract the most juicy gossip out of you. So just beware
of
him.
I think I can work with that. I'm really happy to be here.
I build you up, make you feel safe and
beautiful, and then he knocks
comes
me down.
And he just gets it. He gets the info from you.
Well,
okay.
I don't know how much digging I'm going to do today, but we do want to talk to you guys a little bit more about your relationship, and because we've heard the story from Vanessa's side, obviously, and
do you remember the story?
Of course, I remember the story.
Yeah, okay.
But I think it'd be cool to listen to you guys just talk about your relationship, how it all started.
I like hearing the story from both parties because most of the time the story is not the same.
But before we do that, we are going to take one quick break and then dive right into it. We're back. Okay, great.
Welcome back to the Help I Suck at Dating.
Okay, we're back with Vanessa and Josh, and it's me and Jared sitting on one side of the table, Vanessa and Josh sitting on the other side. It's almost like a panel.
It's an interrogation.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. It's exactly what it is.
Maybe this is why I woke up with diarrhea this morning.
Yeah, you're a little stressed.
Like, we just put out nervous vibes.
So I didn't mention how nervous I am. This is the first time I've done a podcast. So
well,
it's the first time you've ever been on a podcast. We're popping your podcast cherry.
Absolutely, we're doing that today.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I feel great.
I feel very lucky. Jared, what kind of questions do you have for them to start off with? I think we just kind of want to hear the origin stories, right?
Yeah, I kind of want to know exactly from the beginning because we've heard a lot about you from Vanessa.
All good things.
And all wonderful things.
I try to get her to say mean things all the time, but she never does. Not a single thing.
It's unbelievable. It makes me throw up a little bit. But other than that, no, it's fantastic. So how did you guys meet from your perspective?
So we met, to be quite honest, Vanessa had done a photo shoot with my sisters in Montreal. So I have three sisters I grew up in Montreal. Vanessa grew up in Montreal, but we never actually met each other. And
can I interrupt every once in a while?
No.
Okay. Well, because hold on. So his sisters own this restaurant in Montreal that I would go to, my family would go to, and all of his best friends are Italian who are also really good friends with my sister. So my circle knew about his circle, but we just never knew of each other.
Is this an Italian restaurant?
No.
No, it's a salad bar.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of it?
Mandy Salads.
Mandy Salad. Yes. Any listeners in Montreal?
It's very good.
Got to go there.
Got to try it.
My salads.
Yeah. So I remember, seeing the photos that came out from the photo shoot that she had done with my sisters, which was for International Women's Day. So it was a really cool photo shoot. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, this is one beautiful woman. And, I figured that I would try reaching out to her on Instagram. You know?
So you slid into the DMs.
I slid into the DMs. An expression I was not familiar with at the time, but now I know exactly what it means.
We're one for one. I'm going to be comparing your story to what I hear from Vanessa, and we're one for one. So yep.
Okay.
Now, what was your opening line?
My opening line may or may not have involved my 4-year-old nephew.
You smart man.
Yeah. My nephew, Sonny, and I were having a conversation, a very limited one, but you know. He made it into the DM, and I basically told her that he had given me some advice that I should reach out to her. So I did that.
Smart. I know, right? So cute.
And not thinking that she would answer. I had no idea if she would answer.
So I was actually on a date when I got his message.
What do you mean?
Well, that guy sounds like a douchebag.
Wait. You were on a date, but you were going through the request folder.
No, I was on a date, and this person was away from me for a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Obviously the date was not going
whatever.
Well.
That's what I was alluding to. May not have been in the bathroom. And so I was going through my Instagram because I was all alone. And then I checked my hidden DMs. I don't know about you guys, but there's certain collaborations that come in through hidden DMs. So I checked all my messages. And then I saw his, and it was a lengthy one. So I was like, oh my God, like, what is this?
It was a long one?
So
it was,
yeah,
it was a long
one.
Message.
So were you nervous about sliding into DMs? Let's be honest. Have you done it before? Like, have you ever just kind of like reached out to someone and was like, hey, what's up?
I've reached out on social media before, not always even for dating purposes.
Right. But,
If there was a shoe line that I really liked. So I remember I reached out to the designer and I told him how much I liked the shoes, and we actually wound up connecting and became friends because of that.
Oh, wow. So did you have your friends help you kind of articulate the way?
No,
you
actually, I remember I was on my way to go skeet shooting that day, and I pulled over on the side of the road. It was really random when it happened, and I was like, this is a shot in the dark, and we'll see if it works out.
So you were driving a car, you pulled over to send the message.
The thought occurred to me. I got off at the exit to get to this park where we were going to go shooting.
That's actually pretty romantic.
It's
I really respect that.
Dude, I stress over every word I send. Like, when I was in my single days, if I was trying to hit on someone or flirt with a girl, like, every time I'd write out something, and then I would delete it, and then I'd write something else and delete it, and I'd send it to my friends, be like, does this sound stupid? Do I sound like an idiot?
He's really good with his words, though.
I find that I'm better communicating through writing. So whenever I write something out, like if whether it's with family members or friends, and if we're having a disagreement about something, I'll often sit down and write out what my thoughts are and send them to
him. He wrote me this really cute email when I left for, not Florida, when I left for Europe for 3 weeks. And he sent it right when my flight was leaving, so I could only read it when I landed in Europe. And it was like the sweetest message I ever got. So even when, like, if we ever would argue or whatever, he would send me this really nice message. And he's just really good with his words.
So the message itself I sent, but I honestly thought that it was a shot in the dark. I've never, you know, she has quite a few followers. Yeah. So,
but see, that's what Dean thought too. Or I don't remember who thought that when I was single, you guys are like, oh, I can't believe there's no one that slides into your DMs or whatever. I think people think because we have a large following, there must be so many people reaching out to us. What's the point of being, you know, falling in one of the million messages that we get? I wasn't getting a lot of messages.
And I think it's also different for a guy coming off the show than it is a girl coming off the show, just because the 95% of our following is female.
Right. So you got it. You sent the message.
Yeah, and then I really wasn't expecting to hear back. And even if I did, I didn't know what it would turn into. So
let me ask you this.
It was not stressful.
Because
Dean's leaning forward, by the way, now.
Yeah, you're getting into it.
You just put your coffee down?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Why did you decide to do the DM slide if you already had third-degree connections, right? You could have asked your sister or something for a phone number or, like, to introduce you.
I didn't even talk to my sisters about it, to be honest, because I really was taking it as a shot in the dark. I mean, if she were to answer, it would have been nice, but I also wasn't counting on it.
So. Then were your sisters like, you DM the girl that we were working with?
Yeah, my sisters thought it was a little bit funny, you know? And then I was a little reluctant to mention that I had used my 4-year-old nephew as collateral.
Because I could see doing the same thing, and my sister would probably be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
But I always say how Instagram is like the number one way to date someone.
It's a dating app now. It really is. I mean, just like you said, sliding into the DMs is now just a common phrase.
Right.
Yeah.
And there is kind of like, there was this stigmatization, I feel like, about sliding into DMs and meeting people on Instagram, but now it's just faded away. Just like there was a stigma against dating apps, I feel like, when they first came out, or online dating. People were like, well, I'm not signing up for online dating. That's ridiculous. And now it's just a common way of people meeting each other. My sister met her husband online.
Yeah, 100%. You
know? And it's the same thing with Instagram now, where people are just, they're not afraid to reach out to people on Instagram anymore. And I think it's a really cool way to meet people, as long as you're not creepy. Just don't, you know, don't jump in with the old, well, you guys kind of know where I'm going with this,
but please.
You didn't, because you're a smart man.
I tried, but honestly, I think that the difference between like social media, like Facebook or Instagram, is that you actually can see a little bit more about the person than you would if it was on a dating app where you put up like 5 pictures and, you know.
But not always true. I remember I dated this one guy who posted a bunch of pictures of his family and nieces and nephews, and I'm like, oh my God, a family man. And they never actually saw their family.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, oh, what a...
He was like pretending?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Jared just shot me a look. I don't know what that was about.
That's why, like, with my Instagram, I try to be as authentic with, like, my pictures and whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. that makes a lot of sense. And as long as, was your profile set to public or private?
Mine was public.
Yeah, right, obviously public. Mine was public.
I think the important thing is if you're going to slide and you wish to be successful with it, you should have a public profile.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So yours is public too?
Mm-hmm.
That's smart. Because when you DM someone, I feel like, let me ask you this, Vanessa. Say Josh sent you a message on Instagram. You open it up. You saw his profile pic. You're like, oh, this guy's cute. Says something very nice about his nephew. You look on his profile and it's private.
I wouldn't write back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I would do is I would screenshot the message and then just zoom in on a little thumbnail pic.
There you go.
I would do that too.
That's some detective work right there.
Yep.
But at the same time, it is only one picture.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't give you much insight, but it gives you maybe enough to...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what Josh's thumbnail picture is, but it could have been something pretty nice.
Well, what is your thumbnail picture?
It's just a wolf.
I think it's me and my chihuahua.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, all this to say, if ever you're single and you want to slide into someone's DMs, make sure that your profile is authentic.
Very good point.
And also include your nephew or niece.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Good point.
Sure. Or a dog or a chihuahua. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the chihuahua profile picture helps you out too.
What's the story with the dog that's here today?
My dog, Nala.
Oh, no
that's
way.
Your dog?
Yes, that's my dog.
So friendly. Oh.
She's friendly to adults, but not kids. She hates Amanda's kid.
Really?
Okay.
That's his dog.
Yeah.
I rescued her in college, and in the apartment complex we lived in, these kids would chase her around with sticks all the time.
Oh, that's
and so whenever she sees like a little human, she gets freaked out.
Yeah.
So what was your, I'm curious, so you responded.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she responded, but like 48 hours later. So
I was on a date, right?
Come on,
I wanted
you
to be respectful.
Yeah, of course. She's not going to just give it to you that easily. You got to let you sweat it out. Am I going to respond? Am I not going to respond?
Vanessa, as the receiver of a DM, Josh mentioned that it was like a lengthy message, right? Do you find that refreshing, or did you think that it could have been a little bit more concise?
No, I liked it.
because sometimes when I see a big block of text, I almost just like swipe away. I don't even
really
read
no.
All this,
I find it intriguing. Instead of that means someone, the person put thought into the message instead of a hey, I find you cute. Like
that's fair.
Or what are you doing this weekend? Like instead of a generic message, it was something that was thought out. And I remember you saying you were driving your friends. You guys were going up north or something. Mm-hmm. Then you pulled over. And he
in the message he said you said that
no,
you pulled
no,
over
this, no we discussed this after. I'm like, how did you, because I had the same question. I'm like, how did you come up with the message? Why did you message me during that time? Anyways, I thought it was romantic, and ever since then he's always written me really nice emails and messages and texts. And
we're actually really good at that. We both communicate through writing a lot.
This is the first relationship I can say that we have the same form of communication, in terms of like if we're arguing, we're like, I'm someone that likes to dissect things.
So you guys, if you guys are arguing, you email back and forth.
Not email.
We're sitting there, you know, with our phones.
Actually, just wait till you read my email later.
Once there was an email exchange. Remember? You had gone back to your house and it wasn't.
Not when we're actually together.
No, I know. I'm teasing.
And then it'll be like a text message saying, I sent you something.
Well, we want to talk more. We want to talk more about that because obviously it's nice to know the beginning of the relationship, but we want to know more about the relationship now. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, we should take a quick break and then we're going to jump right into it.
All right.
And we're back.
Nice.
With Dean, Vanessa, Josh, also known as the Silver Fox. Do you like the silver? Is it the Silver Fox or the Gray Wolf?
I'll go with the Silver Fox.
I think the Silver Fox.
No.
We actually got a hat in our room.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We didn't open it, but whose idea was that?
That was
cute.
Amazing.
So there's a hat with a fox on it, and it says Silver Fox.
Nice. That's awesome.
Great. Thank you very much.
I think that's like the first cap you're going to own.
Yeah, 100%.
So cute.
I kind of like the Gray Wolf, too.
Your
Gray
Wolf? Last name is Wolf, right?
Yeah. That's with an E at the end.
That's why I like the Gray Wolf, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
It's just like...
Gray Wolf is pretty cool. I've never heard that one before.
Their family, they call each other the Wolf Pack.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's so cute.
We're a really tight family.
I'm pretty jealous.
So would you say you were a one-man Wolf Pack?
I was a one-man Wolf Pack until I met Vanessa.
So what was your... So you guys communicated on DM, you responded, and then who asked who out first?
Oh, so you want to?
No, you can take a step.
So we actually, the minute I wrote back to him, it was nonstop back and forth messaging for the entire day. And then I think we switched over from DMs to text messages.
Ooh, how did that
who
big
gave
step?
The number?
Yeah, how did
that
big
step? Because he kept saying, do you know, what were you saying? Graham Bell or something?
Oh, yeah. I asked her if she knew who Alexander Graham Bell was. And then
the artist, right? The singer?
No. The inventor of the telephone. Because I asked her a really sarcastic...
I was totally just guessing.
And I asked her a really sarcastic question. And then...
I didn't get what he was insinuating. So basically,
Alexander Graham Bell, the guy who did the Sistine Chapel, right?
Yeah.
So we switched over to text message. Anyway, so then...
That's smooth.
Yeah.
If someone dropped that line on me, I'd be like, yeah, great singer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Hell of an artist.
Yeah.
So then we
started to communicate over the phone because it is, I think it's more personal for some reason.
Oh, it definitely is.
Sometimes can be a difficult transition to go from either Instagram or like, let's say you're on Bumble or something, to go from that to then texting.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew that somebody was interested if we were talking through DM and they're like, hey, it's easier if you just text me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, oh, okay. She's interested. She's giving her phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take to go from Instagram to texting and then from texting to then organizing the first date?
It was a while. But it was a while because she was out of town.
Yeah, I was in Seattle visiting Taylor. Mm. And one morning, we get a knock on the door. Taylor and I love sleeping in. So I was like, who's knocking at 9 o'clock in the morning? So someone knocks on the door. She's like, V, I'm not feeling well. Can you go open the door? And I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, I think it's my Amazon package. So I go to the door, and there's this massive bouquet of Kit Kats, because I don't like flowers. So there was a massive bouquet of Kit Kats. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I think I had I don't remember exactly when I had told you that I didn't like flowers. And then I like Kit Kats or something.
This was before your first date?
This is before our first date. And the message was, I can't wait for our first date.
You
and I'm
silver
like,
fox.
Oh, my God. This is the cutest thing ever.
I had to get creative.
How did you know where to send the bouquet of Kit Kats?
He messaged... Oh.
So Taylor helped me out on that one.
So I
knew that she was with Taylor, and we had been talking a lot at that point. So we were messaging pretty much all day, every day.
And how long was this after when you first answered the DM?
A couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so you guys have been talking for a couple weeks, because just the way I think about it is that Taylor just gave her address to a complete stranger.
Yeah, yeah, right. I know, right? That's how it does definitely sound. It's but we started out like messaging, like we were saying on Instagram, occasionally, like a few times a day, and then when it went over to text message, it was way more often.
Was it simply text, or were there FaceTimes or phone calls or anything like that at this point?
We had started FaceTiming.
I think that was the first time you were using
I'd never used FaceTime before.
That's surprising.
Oh, and she actually also introduced me to the audio message feature, which I'd also never used.
I hate the audio message.
I love audio message. Why?
Because I don't
it's
know.
It's for lazy people.
No, it's not for lazy people.
Right? You just like press the button and then it records your whatever you want to say.
Honestly, though, because I don't know. Yeah, why do I find it annoying?
I think the whole appeal of texting is I don't have to talk or hear anything.
No. Mm-hmm.
I guess, right? Yeah, because I remember there was a collaboration I was texting with, and then I would send him a text, and then he sent an audio message.
Oh.
Then I sent back a text, and then he sent back another audio message, and I was like, just text me, bro. Yeah.
I guess what's annoying, because
I don't know why it was so annoying to me.
It could disappear after, like, I have the feature where it disappears after 30 seconds or after, like, a minute, so then I'll forget what the person said because it was an audio.
Or what if you need to keep that message in case you need to hold it over their head later on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, blackmail.
Blackmail.
Or if you need information, like an address or something like that, and they sent you an audio message with it, then you got to go back and listen.
Is that what happened with this?
No, in this case, no, not at all. All
right, so who asked who out on the first date? Because you guys have been texting. I'm very curious.
Oh, okay. I thought we were still talking about the bouquet of Kit Kats.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, the bouquet of Kit Kats.
Very cute.
Where'd you come up with that idea? How'd you know she liked Kit Kats?
So she had mentioned to me, I don't know how you mentioned that you like Kit Kats, but I knew that she
slide in some, you know, useful information.
Some little info.
Absolutely.
Every now and then.
You got to take notes.
Yeah.
You got to take notes when you're first dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so like
she definitely mentioned
like
that she didn't like flowers.
How did you know that Taylor was going to respond to you?
That was another shot in the dark.
So okay.
And but I feel like I met Taylor through FaceTime with her. So
she
had,
sure.
You know,
and obviously
wasn't so
you probably talked about him a lot to Taylor. So 100%. She was like, you know, that legit.
Taylor's my unpaid therapist.
Yeah.
So she gives me all the advice.
I got to talk to Taylor more often.
Yeah. She's amazing.
All right. So you guys are talking. You sent the bouquet of Kit Kat flowers. Great move.
I was impressed with how they came
together.
Where
do you even find a Kit Kat?
Oh, that was amazing.
I know.
It was really funny. I was calling.
It's 2019. You can find anything.
Yeah, 100%. But I was calling a bunch of florists in Seattle from Montreal trying to figure out who could possibly do that.
Yeah.
And most of them were like, no, we're not. We don't do that. And then an older woman actually picked up. I was like, yeah, of course I'll do it.
That was so sweet. Because I was trying to find sunflowers in Seattle and had to call like 10 different florists.
This guy's
so
fine. Bouquets of Kit Kats.
I know.
You can't
amazing.
Find some sunflowers.
Fun. It was fun.
All right. So then I'm assuming, Josh, did you ask Vanessa out?
Yes. Well, I asked Vanessa out.
Where'd you guys go?
This was actually
your plan?
Really funny.
Where did we go?
I'm expecting something big here.
Vanessa, you don't remember your first date?
I'm having a brain fog. No, it's because I got like 3 hours of sleep last night. I don't know what time
zone it is. Oh my God, this is a funny story if she hasn't told you this.
I'm expecting something big here.
I feel so bad. I don't remember where our first date was.
No, you didn't want to go on a date.
Oh, right. I didn't want to go on a date out in public.
Which
right.
was
no.
took her a while to get to the bottom of. I
Which
understand.
I think you've talked about before.
Let me ask this. At this point, you guys have been talking, FaceTiming. You're about to probably ask her to go on a date, meet her in person. Did you know that she was on The Bachelor?
So I knew that she was on The Bachelor, but
did
I
you know
didn't
when
watch
you...
The Bachelor. I'm totally
he has no
on the
idea what's happening.
That.
So when did you know? Okay, so you knew that she was on the show, but you had no idea what her story was or how
I
far
mean,
she made
being
it.
Being from Montreal, it's a small city, so I knew that she had gone on The Bachelor. Yeah. My mother watches the show, so I had heard that there was a Montrealer who had gone on the show. And actually, I think I had seen with my mom the first episode, which I told you about. And I remember being like, wow, she's stunning.
Yeah.
And then that was the end of that. But then when we started exchanging, when I realized how many followers she had, it kind of occurred to me
that, okay, she's pretty popular.
Yeah,
she's like pretty
popular.
Local celeb in Montreal.
Wait, I'm still trying to remember.
So
where
then when
was.
I asked her out originally, we were going back and forth about which restaurants were, you know, nice places to go in Montreal. And then she got to, I'd like it to be a little bit more private, which to me was a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't understand the language.
Well,
yeah. You were like,
she's
moving fast.
Yeah.
Yes, let's explain why.
So she explained to me why. Do you want to explain why?
Do you want to explain why?
So no, she explained that in Montreal, it's a small city, and people can gossip pretty quickly. So if she's seen out with anybody right away, it's interpreted as she's dating somebody. Mm. So right away, I understood.
Yeah, and I hadn't dated anyone in Montreal in 7 years.
Didn't you? I remember there was some rumor about you dating a hockey player or something like that, right? Which is
went out
silly.
Exactly. So that's exactly what happened. We went out for coffee, and there was someone that came up to me, and they're like, "Hey, Vanessa, huge fan. Can I have a picture?" And then my friend was like, "I'll take the picture of you." And then he noticed who the person was asking to take the picture, and they're like, "Oh my God, you guys are dating." We didn't know this person worked for TSN for a sports channel.
Yeah, it's like the sporting network.
And that's how the article came out. And I'm like, yeah, going out for coffee. That means you're dating someone. So I just wanted us to have a little bit of privacy.
Mm-hmm. I get that, because coming from a small town in Rhode Island, I remember it's all like, you know, local talk mostly, mm-hmm. but still that obviously bothers you because that's where you live. But I remember one time there was a girl who worked at a restaurant that I went to in East Greenwich, great place. And she came up and she was like, "Oh yeah, you're Jared, blah, 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 blah." This was like a couple years after I was on the show. She's like, "Yeah, I work at the restaurant that you bring all your dates to." And I was like, my dates to? And I was trying to really wrap my head around it, because I go to that restaurant all the time. But honestly, I've been on one date at that restaurant. I was like, "Bring all my girls to?" She's like, "Yeah, like every time you come in, you're with like a different girl." I was like trying to wrap my head around it. And then I realized, because they only know me from the show, mm-hmm. I went when a producer came to film my prepackage, we went to dinner there.
And you guys hooked up, obviously.
No, but we did go to dinner there. So she thought that was a date. I went in there with my sister, my cousin, my best friend, Crystal. And then I did go on one date there. So it was like five different girls that I brought into the restaurant, but there was only one date, but this girl, and then the whole restaurant thought that I was some sort of big mm-hmm. player who brought in a different girl
so
every
funny.
Time.
To the same restaurant.
And so of course I'm like, "No, I swear to God, I'm like a loser. I don't even date. I promise you." It was just a weird conversation. But anyway, I get where you're coming from, where people just assume because they know who you are and they're like,
exactly.
"Oh, if you're out with somebody from the opposite sex, it
exactly.
must be mm-hmm. a date."
And people know who he is too because of his sisters in the city. So I just wanted
photographers, you said, yeah?
His sisters owned the salad bar,
oh, okay.
the restaurant. So I just wanted to give us a chance to really get to know each other. And that's why, and now I remember where our first date was. And I told you guys where it was, and you both were kind of like, "That's weird." It was at my house.
At your house, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you not remember the idea of the lobby hopping?
Yeah, we wanted to go lobby hopping and like find...
What's lobby hopping?
Like going to different hotels in Montreal and like go from like one lobby of a hotel to another and just like, I don't know, like taking the scenery instead of like staying in one spot.
Okay, it's cool.
That didn't end up happening. So he ended up coming over to my house, which was nice. And I had a migraine. And I have this eye patch that I wear over my head whenever I start getting a migraine. And I wear this peppermint halo over my forehead. So that's when I asked him if he could massage my back, and I put my eye mask on, and he's like, "I'm friend zone." He thought he was friend zone right away.
All right, let me ask you something, Josh. Let me ask you something.
I'm the girl that goes to bed with pimple cream all over her face. Like, I have no shame.
You've been talking on Instagram, now text messaging for a few weeks. She invites you over, then asks for a back massage. What is going through your head right now?
So
it was a shoulder massage.
I think you would also
I don't give a shit.
Was there food?
Any massage.
There was food. I feel
was
like
you No. The first night there was no food.
Okay.
It was the second date.
So honestly, when we were sitting on the couch and that was going on, when she put the face mask on, I was like, "Friend zone." That was it.
Oh really?
Yeah,
so
because I thought she was completely
opposite.
Checking
oh,
out.
Oh no, it was a mask with like stars on it, and I totally
put this thing over her face, and I was like, "Okay."
She just invites guys over to give them massages.
Yeah.
You know, help her get to bed, feel a little bit better.
But okay, so,
on
it was
way.
So it was a shoulder rub, right? But did all the clothes stay on for the shoulder rub?
Stayed on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you go over. Were you nervous though? Because I think as a female, inviting a guy over that you hadn't met yet is
not a good idea.
Yeah.
But we were talking for maybe 3 weeks before, which again still doesn't equate to being a safe environment. When he came over, so Taylor was on FaceTime. I don't know if I told you this. She recorded our first meeting.
Yeah,
our first like interaction. Because Taylor's been dating this guy from Toronto for about a year, and by fluke I was starting my YouTube channel. So I was recording a bunch of stuff, and I have the recording of when her and her now boyfriend first met. So she's like, "I want to give that as a gift to you. FaceTime me whenever he comes over." So we're on FaceTime. And so she recorded our interaction, which I've never seen. So she met him and she spoke to him. And then she was like, "Okay, girl, I think you're good. Like, call me in a little bit. Text me if you're good." But I don't suggest that it's like a perfect first date to, you know, be in an enclosed area without anyone around you.
It's definitely
a
first for
smart.
Me.
Yeah.
But I think that we had a lot of friends in common.
But
so
what was the like activity that you guys had set forth for it? Because normally you go like, "Let's go to dinner. Let's go see a movie." Mm-hmm. Were you like, "Let's go to my house, and at my house we can Because you said there was no food involved.
No.
So you didn't cook. You didn't eat. What did you do? What was like?
Hey, what was the plan?
What was the plan?
Are you guys were gonna hop
I think
lobby.
That there's a little more background here because you had just gotten back like the day before and we'd been talking a lot, so we were excited to meet and we had already talked about going to New York.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'd already booked a trip to New York and we hadn't even met yet.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of firsts for me situation.
Is New York a big trek from Montreal?
No, not at all.
It's
no.
Like an hour.
But still, it's a trip with someone that you don't really know super well.
New York City?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys are flying, right?
Yeah.
So that was our second day. Like towards like, I don't know how many dates we had before.
We booked a trip to New York.
You guys booked the flight before you met.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good for
firsts
you.
All around.
I know. But see, I'm someone who... And I get so much for this from my friends. Everyone always tells me, Vanessa, take it slow, take it slow, take it slow. I'm someone, I like to get to really know someone at the beginning instead of putting this facade of like, this is who I am, blah, 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 blah. And then like a year later, you're like, the mask comes off and you don't even recognize the person you're dating.
The star eye mask with pimple cream.
Star eye mask comes off.
Exactly, with the pimple cream and all that.
Finally, a year later, he gets that mask off.
So
I guess my question is, you decided to forego a public first date, but you had already booked a flight to New York. Just seems a little strange, right?
Yes. But it wasn't our, like the lobby hopping wasn't like we weren't going to stay that long in a lobby. So, you know,
I felt like we were going to walk around the city, check it out, just be out in public, but not necessarily on a date.
I like to do different things on dates instead of
you're a very weird person.
I am very weird. Like, oh, let's go for dinner. You can do that with a friend.
In the best
way.
I think weird is good. I just to clarify.
I take that as a compliment. Yeah, yeah, I like to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. And that's why, like, for me, Taylor and her boyfriend were going on vacation in New York. To New York. And so she invited me and I'm like, oh, it'd be fun if we can just like double date and whatever. And so that's why we ended up booking a trip before we even met.
Okay, so it was with Taylor and her boyfriend too.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. See, I'm with you where I like to do something different on dates, but I always like for a first date, something very low key just because like what happened if you guys actually met in person and you had already booked these flights and you met and you're like, oh shit, there's nothing here.
Well,
and now I have to go to New York with this person.
I know. That was our worry. I think when we first met, we were talking about how imagine there was like zero chemistry. For me, at least, it was chemistry from the get-go, and especially just the way that he interacted with me, whether that was through FaceTime or text message, and he was so attentive. I could be a little bit needy in a relationship, and I'm like a little bit not needy, but my love languages, like I'm a very affectionate person, and so is he, and so we feed each other's needs when it comes to that.
So did you guys kiss on the first date?
Yes, and you know what? He asked me if he could. He's like, there's something that I really want to do right now. I'm like, what? He's like, can I kiss you? And I'm like, oh, my God. Yes.
The silver fox.
He's very.
Well, I mean, I did think I was in the friend zone, right? So I just wanted to be sure before.
Respectful. Be respectful. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was having this conversation the other day with one of my friends who I don't know how I'm gonna position this. It's going to be a bad story.
Oh, I'm excited.
They started dating someone. Right. They basically jumped into a boyfriend girlfriend relationship with this person after a short amount of time before they had really gone all the way, if you catch my drift. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, I go, how do you jump into a relationship that serious with that much commitment without ever having seen the other person's genitals? Because if you think about it, that's a big part of the relationship.
Yeah, it's a huge part.
It just is a big, big step. And so for this, for Josh and Vanessa booking a trip to New York, just made me think of you guys booked a trip to New York without ever really having seen each other's genitals.
Not even seen each other's genitals, seen each other's face in person.
Well, genitals one, face two. Like, come on, you know?
Yeah, let's prioritize here. Sorry.
That's just one of the things where it's like, it's something that we, because typically when we start dating in 2019, you probably will hook up with someone and then decide later on if you're going to date them or not, right? Like, it's kind of a bass backwards way.
So this is why I feel like I was born in the wrong era.
Well, yes and no. I think you probably are dating someone, and as it escalates and you start getting more intimate, realize, okay, is this a long-term thing?
Right.
You know, is this not? Because let's be honest, sex is a big part of the relationship. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Right.
And I think that's why, you know, 50 years ago, it was a very taboo topic to talk about sex before marriage. And now it's becoming more regular because people are realizing that I don't want to be in a committed relationship without knowing every aspect of the relationship. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different compatibilities, and there's also prioritizing, right? A lot of people put a lot of emphasis on the physical part of the relationship, and some others don't, and it's really kind of dependent on the couple on how important they find that is.
And I guess I was being presumptuous too, because at what point did you guys consider yourselves boyfriend girlfriend?
Ooh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there wasn't like a, hey, you want to be my girlfriend?
I don't.
I'm trying to actually remember that part.
If you want to, you can ask her right now.
Yeah.
Want to be my girlfriend?
100%.
There we go.
That's what we do here.
We're matchmakers.
We make relationships happen.
I think it's beautiful. I don't remember when we had, I don't think we had that conversation. I think it kind of just, oh, I remember. We were at your place, and I think I was still, I hadn't dated anyone since my breakup.
Yeah.
And so for me, I wanted to make sure that I was going to be in something like that was going to be long lasting. And we had that conversation where you're like, I don't want to date anyone else. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm there yet. Remember? Mm-hmm. But then like the day after, I was like, all right, I think I'm ready to like, and the thing is
really,
like,
flipped the switch there. Didn't
yeah.
You?
I never date more than one person at the same time. But I think in my head, I'm like, hey, take it slow. Cause I know how I can go from like 0 to 100 real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that was an idea that she really had at the beginning while we were first dating, was that she didn't want to take things too quickly. But I'm also somebody who's very, I have a one track mind. So like, I'm not interested in dating more than one person at once.
Yeah.
And once I, you know, decide that I want to go all in on something, I do my best and try and give it my all. So I was pretty, I knew right off.
Sounds like you guys are very similar in that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very similar. So we were actually talking on the flight about friendships and relationships and all that. And I want to throw this question out to you guys, cause you're both males in relationships.
Debatable.
Sometimes. So at one
point, again, debatable.
At what point do you reach out to your friends to talk about things that are happening in your relationship, personal things happening in your relationship, or in your marriage, in your family life too? Like I call Taylor 24/7. She's on speed dial and I tell her everything. But I feel like that's a lot of girls have that kind of friendship.
That's a great question, Vanessa. And we're definitely going to answer it. But before we answer it, we're going to take a quick break and go from there. Okay, and we're back. Jared, do you want to answer the question first?
Can you say the question one more time?
So do you reach out to your guy friends if ever you and Ashley argue over something, or if there's something happening with your family? Because I feel like a lot of guys don't have that outlet. My outlet is mm-hmm. Taylor. She knows everything that's going on, and she will give me the most unbiased, best advice. So I know I can trust her judgment. I think sometimes, and remember a couple episodes, we interviewed Tina, who's the founder of Wingman.
Yeah.
And you can get to know the person's friends. I think that's, for me, that's so crucial, because I want to know, who are your friends and what kind of advice are they giving you to better our relationship?
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I'm being honest, I go to Ashley a lot for any type of family issues or even issues that Ashley and I are encountering in our relationship. Her and I have really good communication skills. But in terms of maybe when Ashley and I were first kind of going through everything and you know, you have to go through that like flirty,
right,
like reading way into things stage. Yeah, I have a buddy of mine we have a great relationship like that. He's like my friend that I always talk to about relationships and girls and what they're thinking. And so that's the friend that I go to. And yeah, I remember when everything was happening with Ashley and I'd be on the phone with him for like 2 hours and just talking about everything. And he was obviously very invested and interested because he had known Ashley and he'd known the whole story. And so he was a good friend to just turn to and just vent to, and he'd be like, all right, you should do this. Or, mm-hmm. And Tanner was, during that time, a friend like that too. Mm-hmm. Cause Tanner, yet again, was a friend that had just seen everything and knows Ashley so well and knew me so well that anytime I'd be like, bro, this just happened. I don't know what to do. Like, you know, and it was dumb stuff, right? A picture on Instagram, and be like, why the hell would that like be there? He's like, just calm down. Yeah, you know, you got to post about you, you know, they rationalize everything for you. So definitely, oh yeah, I've guy friends like that. But you're right, a lot of guys don't. They internalize their feelings, which is why, mm-hmm. you know, they drop at like 55 from heart attacks. It's like you gotta let that stuff out. You know, you gotta talk about how you feel. If not, it's just going to build up.
My biggest frustration with the friend thing as it pertains to relationships, I experienced this with my last relationship. I have friends who we all love each other wholeheartedly. We all want the best for each other. But they kind of look at, they almost kind of tell you the things that you want to hear sometimes. So say I introduce my girlfriend to my friends. This happened a while ago. And they're all like, oh, she's great. I love you guys together.
How long ago did this happen?
We're not going to get into specifics.
No timetables.
I love you guys together. She's great. It's an awesome relationship, right? 6 months later, we break up.
And then all the juicy, like, and then I'm like, I didn't like her.
And then they're like, well, yeah, I never really liked her in the first place. And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me that?
Or are they just telling you that because they want to help you mend your heart?
No, they tell me that because they mean it. I think that they lied to me in the beginning because mm-hmm. they wanted to be supportive and right. support the relationship. Right?
And these are girlfriends or guy friends telling you this?
Both, but mostly really? Guy friends, I yeah. suppose.
It's hard, right? Because you want to support your friend because obviously,
right.
So say you were dating someone that nobody liked, and it's that balance, right? Because what happens if they went to you and said, "Hey, I really don't like her. I don't think you should date her."
Right.
You might get really defensive and say, who the hell are you to think, tell me who I should date or not date?
I
like,
love
you're my friend.
I love taking my friend's opinions on that kind of stuff. Like, that's why I always, one of the first things I do is when I start dating someone new is I'll introduce them to all my friends. And then I'll be like, well, what do you guys think? Like, do you like her? Was she fun to hang out with, like, mm-hmm. when I wasn't around, et cetera? And that's like a pretty telling sign, I think, onto whether a relationship is
And are they
successful.
Honest with you?
Most of the time they are, and okay. they'll always compare it to like past relationships, right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, like I like her way more than I like her. She did this better than the other one. And it's kind of like a weird comparison thing, I guess, but it's my friends are important to me, right? And I want my significant other to be able to coexist with my friends. And right. I think that it's like an important test.
I think there's also a fine line between, like, I had a friend who was dating someone who wasn't really good to her. I expressed it. All of our friends expressed it to her until she was ready to finally say, I'm done with this relationship. So she took all of our opinions and advice, but she wasn't ready. I think at a certain point, you know, when you're just done with something and yeah. it's sometimes easy when you're outside of the relationship to tell someone like, you deserve better, like go get, you know, get yourself and, you know, find someone else. But when you're in that relationship, only you and the person that you're dating really knows True. What's going on. And sometimes we have a tendency to call our friends and complain about the person we're dating instead of calling them and being like, oh my God, you know what he did for me today? And, right. and like hype
you
them
about,
up.
You vented about yeah. the bad things, not
exactly.
the good things.
So mm-hmm. then they start putting all of these, you know, bad stories in their heads. So obviously they're going to think, well, this person's not good for you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people. Oh, sorry, Josh.
No, I was just going to say, when I think of a typical situation that happens to a lot of guys, is like you'll get lost in whether or not you're going to ask for directions. And a lot of guys that I know don't like to appear helpless. Hmm. They don't like to ask for help.
Right.
I grew up with three sisters who I love very much. So I think I've had a different upbringing than a lot of guys mm-hmm. that I know. And I often turn to my sisters if and when I, you know, I'm dealing with something and right. I need to reach out for
and
help.
And as guys, too. My friends do this often. It's kind of frustrating. I'm like, well, what's your opinion of this person that I'm dating now? And they're like, oh, well, she's really hot. And I'm, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, yeah.
But what really? Else? Is that what guys say?
All the time.
They talk about the appearance?
Yes, 100%. And they'll even like look back and be like,
is that what you want to hear?
I would be like, oh, that girl made me really unhappy. And they'd be like, yeah, but she was really hot. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, God. But who cares?
But, yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of one of the frustrating things. But you're right. I think guys kind of have like this pride factor. I'm definitely one of those people as well to what Jared was saying earlier too. I internalize a lot of things and it's nice to have those friends that you can, I guess, confide in. We all need that. But.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's just tough because I think as a society, men are brought up a certain way to really not show their emotion. And you guys are the pack leaders and you're the protectors and you're the providers. And I think as we get older, it's really difficult to, articulate how we're feeling, especially if we're feeling vulnerable or sad mm-hmm. or emotional. And it's becoming better. Obviously we're living in a society where men are more, you know, prone to say, hey, actually, you know, that does make me sad or like, that doesn't make me feel good. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I mean, how many times, especially as guys, do you hear your friends just say like, I don't care. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. You know?
Always. I mean, I say that every day. Yeah.
I think we're also conditioned when someone asks you how you're doing, you say I'm good. Or I'm fine. And that's like an automatic response. And it's okay to say, I'm not feeling good today. Or, you know, like I'm sad or I'm mad. So, instead of being truthful, we just mask it with the generic, I'm good.
One of the things that I love the most about Vanessa is the fact that she's taught me in many ways how to be more vulnerable. And I've never been in a relationship where I've seen that as something that's incredibly important, but I see how attractive that is now.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, I remember at the beginning when we were first dating, we would go out and she'd be shopping and she'd ask me if I liked something. And I was a little bit reluctant to tell her that I didn't like the way that something looked, because obviously she liked it if she was going to be buying it. And I remember we got into a little bit of a tiff over that because I didn't necessarily like the item in question. And then now that's a very minor example.
Yeah.
But it's something that I guess I hadn't really done before, but she's really been helping.
Wait, so you're encouraging people to be honest? Like, yeah. So you don't like it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's so tough, though, because sometimes the truth does hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I feel like there's people out there who are like, I'm 100% honest. Like, I'll always tell how it is. And I'm like, should you do that, though? Because I have friends who are like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes they say exactly how they're feeling. And it really doesn't change anything. It's just like them being like, yeah, I don't like that. And it's like, well, I don't know what to do for you.
I think it's the way you deliver it, right? And especially if you set what kind of standards you want in your relationship, in your romantic relationship. And we've had so many discussions like this. I always opt for 100% honesty. Really stupid example. I gave my keys to my brother. He's going to kill me for the story. But I didn't want anyone else sleeping over at my house. So he ended up sleeping over at my house with another friend of his. And I'm like, well, why didn't you just tell? Like, I would not have been mad. But now that I found out after the fact, I find I was being disregarded and disrespected. Yeah. So just be honest from the get-go, because the truth will always come out.
Right.
So just be honest.
Yeah. I think there's also, like you said, there's an approach that you have to take. And I think sometimes people just don't know how to approach the truth. Because for example, if like I walk... Like if it was the first thing I said to you this morning, I'd be like, oh, what's up, Dean? God, that is one ugly shirt. You'd be like, oh, okay. I don't know.
No, but if they're asking for your opinion on something.
Yeah, but it's just the truth. It's how I feel. I'm not saying I actually like your shirt, but I'm just making a point. Rather than later on in the day, like after we've kind of talked and like had a nice morning, break the ice, be like,
right.
Huh, that's an interesting choice for your shirt.
Interesting choice.
You know?
I love that line. Interesting choice.
Yeah, because that is truthful while also not being a jerk. Like you said, Vanessa, I think a lot of people just don't have that balance.
Yeah.
Because I'm always for the truth as well, but sometimes I certainly will tell white lies to make people feel better. If I don't think it's really going to be a drastic outcome.
So I think the clothing element that I brought up was a small example, but like how I'm feeling emotionally, I think that she's really taught me to open up about.
Yeah.
I wasn't somebody who would do that
easily. I always wonder about this, and I have an internal debate, because I have friends who are very emotional people, right? Like some very close friends who are very, very emotional. They wear their hearts on their sleeves. They're almost directed by their emotion at times. I'm on the other side of the spectrum where I don't really take much emotion into anything or carry much on a daily basis. And I see how affected they get by so many things that they're not in control of. And I look at that and I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not that emotional, because I don't allow things that I can't control to affect my like well-being on a regular basis. But then I see other things where it's like you allow yourself to be vulnerable and open, and how that allows you to like feel things more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like there's like an argument that can be made on both sides. I think at the end of the day, your argument wins out, because no one wants to go through life living a calloused, desensitized way of living, which... When I think of it, I'm like, well, that's probably what I'm going to end up doing. But
no, it's not.
but I'm saying there's good in it. You know what I mean? But there's also a lot of good, as Josh was saying, in the openness and the vulnerability that you can get. But I'm just saying that the point is you can argue both sides. And I also, on an unrelated but similar note, so I have this friend who's a sommelier, and she, and this was like a while ago, but like I bought us a $6 bottle of wine. And it had sat out and open for a long time, and it tasted really bad. But to me, it tasted really good, because I don't know wine.
I wouldn't know the difference between a box of wine.
So it's a really interesting example.
So,
no, I love it though.
So because she went out of her way to understand the nuances and the differences between bad wine and good wine, she can no longer really enjoy bad wine. But I can enjoy all of the wine because I don't understand it. You know what I mean? So I'm like desensitized to all wine. So that's kind of what I relate it back to as like a metaphor. Is which one of those would you rather live? Would you rather really, really appreciate the really good wine, or would you rather just like generally appreciate all of the wine, I guess is the point that I'm trying to
make. Well, on the flip side, I was imagining like going on a date and then the sommelier comes over to the table and wants you to like spin the wine around. And like, I don't know much about wine at all.
Right.
Like, do you pretend that you know what you're talking about, or do you just be honest?
Whenever they do that, I just say, pour the glass. I'm going to drink it either way.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting metaphor. I think it's also... the metaphor that people use where you have to take your shot, so to speak, because if you don't take a shot, then you can't fail, right? That's the whole point. If you never actually go for the things you want, then you can't fail at achieving
right.
those things. But at the same time, if you never go for it, then you'll never truly experience the full capability of life, I guess. So I think it's a hard thing to know, because if you stay within your little bubble, you can really enjoy life, but mm-hmm. will you ever enjoy it as much if you don't ever get outside that?
That's the conversation you need to have.
So one of the things that my older sister has always sort of emphasized is communicating. This is going to sound super cheesy, but it's really true, and I feel it, is to communicate with your heart. And Vanessa is very much the same way. But whenever you speak through your heart, you wind up being able to relate to people a lot better than when you're using your head. Because when you're using your head, you wind up tripping up, and your actual thoughts don't make it out as clearly as they would if you're speaking from your heart.
Yep, I do the head thing over the heart.
Yeah,
I'll work on it.
It's definitely hard.
I want to ask you guys about the future and what the future holds for both of you. But before we do that, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll dive into it. Okay, so what's the future hold for you guys?
How long have you guys been officially dating now?
So this is the first relationship I don't count. I used to be someone that's like, oh, we made it to a month. Oh, we made it to 2 months. Oh, we made it to 3 months. And I'm like, I don't even know how long we've been dating, but it's since the winter, so...
Almost 8 months?
Yeah.
I thought
almost 8 months.
Just asked her to be your girlfriend like 20 minutes ago.
Basically, 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
It's a very serious 20-minute relationship, I can tell.
Officially dating 20 minutes.
Winter. So we'll say what, December? So we'll say...
Yeah, I would say December.
We'll say 7 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you guys both live in Montreal. I guess you guys must talk about the future. Obviously, you're open about everything, right? So, like, how do those conversations look?
People were actually encouraging us to not take things slow and just, like, go full force. But I think for me, this is, and I spoke about this with Ashley last time we were in Napa. She's like, you seem so, like, cool about it. I'm like, yeah, because I want to be able to take things slow and feel everything out, you know, like obviously, like I feel extremely strongly about our relationship and I love him so much. But I think part of me is also scared of things not working out. I'm someone who hopes for the best, but expects the worst. Mm-hmm. That's what ended up happening in all my relationship, obviously, because none of them ended up working out. So it is scary for me. But when I think of a lifelong partner, he's sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. You know, he has all the qualities that I need. In a husband, all the qualities that I need in a father. And I spoke about this before. Sometimes you can find someone who makes a perfect fit as a husband, but wouldn't be the greatest dad, or be the greatest dad, but then would neglect you as a wife. And he fits both qualities. And I see it with his family. I see how he is with his mom. And people say how your partner is treating their mother is such an indicator of how he's going to treat you. And it's he'll randomly buy his mom flowers, and he's so thoughtful. And so attentive to everyone's needs. And I think that has because you grew up with a family of five, with your mom, mm-hmm. four females. I'm terrible at math, obviously.
I am too.
Yeah.
Definitely not restaurant.
Nine.
That helped him be able to be the person that he is today.
When you were talking about a guy can either make a good husband, mm-hmm. but he might not make a good father. He can make a good father, not a good husband. I can relate because, you know, whenever they cast Batman, sometimes you can get someone who can be a good Batman, but he's not a good Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get someone who's a good Bruce Wayne, but not a good Batman.
Yeah,
it's really difficult
right.
in this world to check off all the boxes.
You're
I get it, Vanessa.
Right.
I get where you're coming from.
She told me that you like to draw analogies to films.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was right on point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm just a walking movie quote guy. It's quite pathetic, and I really feel bad
really
for Ashley that she has to deal with it for the rest of her life. But
Because I wanted to bring this up, because you're like, oh, can we talk about how terrible Once Upon a Time is, the TV show? I'm like, for sure Jared and Ashley would appreciate it.
I've never seen it. I'm not a big
really?
TV show guy. I actually just recently got into Riverdale, which I'm like 4 years late, but I just watched season one and really enjoyed it.
It's good?
It's really good. But Once Upon a Time, I don't get into TV shows. Did you not like it?
I do like TV shows. Like, I don't watch TV, but I'll binge watch at night if I have time to put something on. But she started watching the show, and it's not...
I love it. It's all about like Disney princess characters and how their world is intertwined with our world now and how they're stuck here. It's so cool. It's I like watching...
Ashley watched it.
Oh, she did?
She definitely did.
Okay.
I remember
she
was talking about
it
one time.
Yeah.
You guys, we love TV. That's great. But we're still talking about the future here.
Oh, yes.
Isn't this help? I binge watch TV too much?
That's great. We love television. It's great. What else is... So what can we expect coming from the Vanessa and Josh relationship because you're 4 months away from your 1 year mark. Again, we're flexing. Using that term loosely. We don't know the exact day, but I mean, like you said, you're both full all in, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's the next necessary step for you guys? What have you talked about? It sounds like you both want children at some point. I remember yes. Vanessa has told us, she's been very vocal about it in the past, that she was dating a guy who said that he didn't want kids, and she knew from that point that she no longer wanted to be interested. So I would assume that you guys have talked about that.
Yeah, 100%. She's been very upfront about wanting kids, yeah. I think, within the first 5 minutes of talking. So, you know, I knew that. But one of the things that I love about us is that we're both really close with our families.
Yeah.
And I think that our families get along also. But it's an interesting question. I mean, I see us going the full nine yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a challenging question to answer, too, because it's like, obviously you have these private conversations, and then like some random person that you just met is asking you the same question. It's like, well, what's on a podcast,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm.
No, but I mean, from the moment that I met her, I swear, from the first time that we were communicating, I really felt like this was the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that you're ready for, you think, as well, obviously,
yeah.
right?
100%.
Which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the whole nine yards phrase come from? What is that?
Stop getting us off topic.
No, I got to know. Just 1 second. I know it was a movie, but what is the whole nine yards? What does
know.
That mean?
That's a good question.
Well, does it take 9 yards to make a...
No, it's 10 yards for a first down.
I have no idea.
Here, football. We ask them a question about the relationship. And
no, I know. I just wanted to ask.
I will always Google the whole nine yards. The whole nine yards is a colloquial American English phrase meaning everything, the whole lot, or when used as... No, we're looking for like the origin. Like, why is it a...
Yeah, why is it 9 yards? Why do you have to go 9 yards to go the full distance?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Tori's got it. Well, Tori is looking that up, and Dean will give us an explanation. I'm sorry. Continue. So you guys see kids in the future. Josh, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I guess. I'm 34.
34. Okay.
Got all the gray hair in the world.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to either say you could easily be in your mid-30s, your late 20s. Gotcha. You have
my mid-40s.
Or you're honestly, yeah, but you don't look old. It's just the gray hair. Because I was like, either he has gray hair because he's in his late 30s, early 40s, and he just looks great for his age, or he just got gray hair early in his life.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's actually 28. But 34, gotcha. Mm. So
it works so well for you too.
I know.
Why? Thank you,
yeah.
Dude. Gray hair is in. I'm
happy
so
about
jealous.
That. It conveniently happened that
way. I'm gonna dye my hair gray.
I actually wanted to dye my hair gray, my hair white when I was younger.
Interesting.
Really?
So I just started going white. So,
you just manifested this?
How's your father's head of hair?
He had little hair.
Okay.
In other words, he was bald.
Okay. I didn't know. Maybe just like little hair. Maybe he kept it short.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, he shaved.
Oh, okay. So, Vanessa, are you nervous about him balding then?
No, I feel like he has a really good hair.
Oh, he's got great hair now.
That's something to consider. You guys might have kids at some point, you know?
Yeah, I don't care.
Let's ask this. Can we expect
an
engagement anytime soon? Before the end of 2019?
2019.
Good God, don't
2019?
Put a date on it, brah.
What are we, July?
I have so many mosquito bites on my arm.
Have you guys talked about an engagement?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, that's all we need to know.
So there's a dialogue of Vanessa potentially having a ring on her finger.
There's lots of dialogue.
Yeah. Some emails being sent.
Some text messages
we're
back
emailing
and forth.
About that, you know?
Before that, though, you guys, would you live together? You would live together first?
He has his own place, and I have mine. I live in the Old Port. He lives in Griffintown. Whatever. No one knows where any of this is. But we're 5 minutes away from each other. But we're always at each other's house.
Right.
Like, he's either packing up a bag so he can sleep at my place, or I'm packing up a bag so I can sleep at his place. But we still have our two apartments.
But you think, practically speaking, you want to just get rid of two rent payments and just make one rent payment or mortgage payment, whichever?
Yeah. I think we haven't found the perfect spot yet because my place is a little bit small. And I love the area that I'm living in.
Mine apparently doesn't have enough light.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sunlight coming in.
Dude, for the grand.
The plan is to stay in Montreal, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you pretty heavily rooted within Montreal?
Yeah,
I
love
work
Montreal.
And stuff like that?
Family, I grew up there, lots of family there.
He's such a proud Canadian.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Aw.
It really is. Because when someone, I guess like in the States, if you ask where you're from, you say America?
You say, yeah.
Yeah.
No, say... In the States?
Well, like, if I say...
If I'm to ask you what you are, what do you answer?
Well, my heritage?
No, like, if... I feel like if you're traveling in Europe, people will go like...
Oh, yeah,
you?
Then, of course, I'm from America, totally.
Yeah.
But, like, if I met someone from Minnesota, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm from America.
No, but wouldn't you say your state within
Yeah, you'd say Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always do the same thing, Montreal.
Whenever I'm traveling and someone asks where I'm from, I just say USA.
Yeah.
And then, like, if they speak English, they say, where in the USA? Or, like, oh, then you say California, and they go, California.
So in Canada, it's really different. People,
I feel like in
often,
Montreal specifically,
will often go into their, like, origins. So somebody will go, what are you? And then they'll say, well, I'm Greek or I'm Italian.
That's
or
what
I'm...
I do. I say I'm Italian, but I'm not. Mm. I was born in Canada, but my dad was born in Italy.
And it never stops there. Like, if you answer you're Canadian, they'll be like, but yeah, but what are you really? You know? And then they're, like, trying to dig.
I always find that.
I just put a stop to it, and I just... That's my answer. I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
I find Montreal's like a little, its own thing in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It feels separated.
Yeah, oh, they've been trying to be separate. Well, Quebec has been trying to separate.
Yeah, because it's very European there. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, I loved it. But have you been to Chicago?
No, just the airport.
I loved it.
It's nice. Not when it's super hot or super cold.
No, I know, but I felt like it was a cleaner New York.
Yeah.
There's so much to do. We were just there for like a couple hours.
Yeah,
it was a little bit too hot
for us though.
But all this to say, yes, we do envision a life together.
Oh, totes are doors. Well,
how many kids are we
going to
have?
If anyone that's been listening to our podcast for a really long time knows that I've been talking about wanting to freeze my eggs, mm-hmm. wanting to become a foster mom, wanting to adopt. I still want to do all those things. Maybe not freeze the eggs, right? Well, I don't know about freezing my eggs now, but I still want to adopt. I still want to become a foster mom in one form of or another. Like, I don't know how I would do that right now, but because my place is so small, but I would love to do it.
Yeah.
But definitely would like to have my own kids too.
And Josh comes from a big family.
Yeah.
He says he has three sisters.
Yeah.
No brothers. It's just you four as siblings.
Yeah.
We're the inverse of each other. I have in my family, it's three boys, one girl. You're three girls, one boy.
Where do you fall
That's probably why I'm in the order. I'm the youngest.
I'm the youngest too.
You're the youngest too. Yeah. That's probably why I'm much more emotionally closed off than you are because of my brothers. I blame them. It's not my fault at all.
It's all their fault.
No, it's funny. A lot of my guy friends grew up with brothers. Same thing.
Really? You know? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very different.
Jared, I do want to... We figured out the whole nine yards.
Oh, perfect. What is it?
So the whole nine yards, it's from World War II. Apparently the Gatling guns that they used to take down the fighter pilots, they used 27-foot... ropes of bullets, and so they would say, "I'm going to give them the whole nine yards," which is how they take down the. You know,
that's really so neat. Interesting.
Yeah, so now we know.
Bad question. Yeah,
we're all a little bit smarter.
See,
now.
The more you know. Well, we're super happy for both you guys, Vanessa and Josh, the Silver Fox, the Gray Wolf. Josh, we're very glad that you're here. The Silver Fox,
very happy
the gray
you guys
wolf.
Met him.
Same.
Yeah, it's been too
really
long.
Nice meeting you guys.
I know it was a travel day from hell to get here.
Oh, yes, it was.
I
was so nervous. With Jared, I knew it was going to be great. But with Dean, I'm like, I don't know what he's going to ask.
Dean's always a wild card.
Jared is like, Jared is like calm and always nice.
Yeah, I'm normal.
Dean Dean will like try to dig for information. And I'm like, what's he going to do?
When it's you guys.
But it's so early in the morning. That's why you're probably still half asleep.
When it's you guys, I like to ask difficult questions. But I mean, Josh and I just met, so I don't want to be too much of a dick, you know?
I appreciate that.
But I am curious.
Oh, here we go. Now we're getting warmed up.
No, because Jared said something. It might have been you that said something early on that you wanted to know what she said to him about us before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, I'm sure.
That's basically what I said. I said, Jared is the one that's going to he's complimenting. He likes to compliment. And Dean, you never know what kind of questions you're going to get from him.
You never know what I'm going to wake up on.
Very complimentary as well, though.
The nice thing about living in a van is there's only one side of the bed, and it's at the foot where you have to crawl out of. So it's like I'm always jumping out of the same side of the bed.
Was that a metaphor that I just didn't get?
It was a literal thing that I experience every day.
Okay, never mind. Well, we do have an email before we get going that I would love to not read.
But before we do the email, let's talk about Beachbody On Demand.
So, Dean, did you get prepared at all before you went to Paradise?
I did, and I used Beachbody On Demand because it's an easy way to use their streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room. The company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, Pi Yo, and 3-Week Yoga Retreat, and new programs continue to be added regularly to the platform for no additional fee. My favorite class is Transform 20, which is a high-intensity 6-week workout and nutrition program that will help transform your body and mind in just 20 minutes a day. The trainer, Sean T, my absolute favorite, he pushes you while motivating you and encouraging you the entire way through. Anyone else want to jump in here? They offer hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding to weight training to cardio HIIT to yoga and even dance workouts. Workouts as short as 10 minutes that don't require extra equipment.
And you know what else, Dean?
Tell me.
They have the best deal in fitness, and they have the best deal for our listeners, our Help I Suck at Dating listeners. You guys can try it absolutely free. Did you hear me? Not just free, absolutely free, which is way better than just free.
I even use this to prepare for my beach body in paradise, and I have never felt more confident.
Yeah, you look good.
The mustache, it really just all came together. And right now, our listeners can get a special free, absolutely free trial membership.
Not just free. Absolutely free.
All you have to do is text Dean to 303030. You'll get full access to the entire platform for absolutely free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support, totally free. Again, just text DEAN to 303030.
And what does DEAN spell?
Dean.
Dean.
That's our favorite.
So wait,
all right, we do have an email.
One email.
We have one email from Jackie. Headline, Dean's mustache. It's my favorite headline of all time.
That's a good one.
Dean has said he changed his look so women will like him more for who he is on the inside, not just for his looks. But if a woman didn't look conventionally attractive, would he ever go for her? The girls he's gotten with the past have been absolutely gorgeous. Lindsay, Danielle, and Christina are all bombshells. Wow. I doubt he'd go for anything less, especially since his options on Paradise are, quote, limited to only beautiful women. And yet he expects to weed out women with his ugly stash. Sounds like a bit of sexist double standard. Ooh. What kind of email is this?
I appreciate it for multiple reasons. One, because I never dated a girl named Lindsay. And two...
Yeah, who is Lindsay?
Rachel Lindsay. I think that's what she's going for.
Oh, maybe.
It's got to be.
Or Leslie, I think.
That's what I think. I love it when people... give me crap on the internet, like on Twitter or something, and they're like, I can't believe you did this to this person, and they spell that person's name wrong. Something about it just makes me chuckle so much, because it's like, at least if you're gonna ask that question, at least spell the name right.
Yeah, you know, get your info right. At least just Google it. Spell check it. It takes 2 seconds.
You can't care that much about that situation and then misspell the name.
Exactly.
But back to your mustache.
To the mustache question. I don't think it's a sexist double standard. I think that's kind of a silly thing to say. I thought it was just a funny,
but
ironic
thing
to do.
Have you ever dated someone, if you would line up all the women that you've dated, are they all equally physically attractive?
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, yes. I'm not going to date someone I'm not physically attracted to.
So is that one of the things that you look for in a relationship?
I think it's an important part of the relationship to be physically attracted to the person you're dating.
I agree.
Right?
Absolutely. But also, I hate when people say that that's a bad thing, that, oh, you're dating someone because you were attracted to them first. What is all the dating apps?
Yeah.
It's not like you don't swipe through dating apps and the first thing you see is their resume or like things that they lift off that they like or dislike. Right. The first thing you see is just a picture of them with their name and age. And it's like, as human beings, of course, the first thing that we're initially attracted to is their looks.
Right.
But so I get kind of mad when people use that against you, because everybody does that, you know? And with you or like anybody, people are attracted to different type of people. So like something that I find beautiful, you might not find beautiful.
Exactly.
You know?
I wish there I had like some deep philosophical answer to this question. The point is, Jackie, the mustache was a joke. It was a joke. I wanted to do something silly, to go down to paradise and look ridiculous. And it seems to have worked because you're emailing us about it right now. And yes, it's nice to like, I don't know.
I really think that you didn't grow the mustache just for people to like you more on the inside than the out. I think you did it sarcastically.
Yes, 100%.
And so I think people are taking the mustache a little too
literally.
Yeah. Exactly. And I really don't know how, like, I don't really have much to add other than that, because it was just basically a big ironic joke.
Yeah.
Anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Big thank you to Vanessa, but a bigger thank you to Josh. For making
that
trip all the way out here.
Yes, the silver fox, the gray wolf, the man, the myth,
can
the legend, the Montreal.
Can I get your phone number before you take off?
Oh, yes. That'd be so cute.
I feel like I've got a lot to learn from this man right here.
I would actually love that if you guys exchange phone numbers.
We should just add Josh to the group text.
Yeah. I love that.
So you can just be informed about all the Help I Suck at Dating nonsense that we talk about on a weekly basis.
That sounds great, but I still require some one-on-one time with this man.
So selfish.
Thank you to Jared. Big thank you to everyone up here in Tahoe as well. And big thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our listeners. What else? Who else do we want to thank here?
Big thank you to Beachbody On Demand. You guys, again, can get a special free trial membership when you text Dean to 303030.
And that'll do it. We'll see you next week. Oh, I guess we'll talk to you next week. Be sure to tune in then, because maybe we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.